We don't run from the truth.
Ooh,
we don't fake the healing.
We heal it.
It's a revolution now, and you're invited.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh. 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 Heal that shit. Don't hold it in.
Ooh.
Rip the band.
With the bear.
I felt like it added a little extra razzle dazzle.
With the bear. A baby bougie. Yes, indeed.
You know, you give the people a little something. I know when they look at the title, they're going to be like, now what they talking about in there today? You know, so I had to put my best fan forward.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So,
we need to do all fans. It's about to get hot today.
I know.
All fans going to get hot.
I'm already sweating up under my armpits. I'm like, gee, willikers. All right, let's get into things. So, hey, y'all, what's up? Welcome to Life Unfiltered Heal That Shit, where we are taking all the things that we have learned over the past seasons and amplifying that for a new year of transformation. This is not just a podcast anymore. This is a revolution in healing. So whether you are a longtime listener and been here since day one, or whether this is your first episode, get ready for us to have some life-changing conversations.
Yes, indeed, because we've learned something powerful over the past year and some change, okay? Some seasons. When we share our truth, we give others permission to do the same. And we have created this space for the truth seekers, the change agents, anyone ready to do the work. Because why? Huh? Because we got to be honest. Real change happens when we stop hiding and we start healing.
So whether you are here to work through your own journey or you're here to learn from ours, you're in the right place because we're about to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get some results.
With that said, buckle up, okay, strap in, grab your favorite drink, and let's heal this shit together.
So what's up, y'all? My name is Kimberland Jackson, and I am an educational advocate, activist, and consultant. This 2026 is actually my 20th year in education, and that is crazy to say, because I also never wanted to be a teacher. So look how God be doing things, okay? So I am also a scientist, a biologist in particular. I am a healer, a visionary, a motivational speaker, virtual producer, network executive. I'm also the founder of Intuitive Melanated Life Coaching, where I help people deepen their personal relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker. I currently live in Medellin, Colombia, and I am a podcast host, and I'm here. What's that? Nice to meet you.
Hey, okay. Let me get my hat in formation for this. My name is Bianca Goolsbee. Yes, indeed. I am a digital strategist. I am a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. Certified, period, poo. I am an investigator and a receipt collector, so put some respect on my name, certified baby. And I'm also the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. I am also an intuitive melanated life coach and a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. And my feet are currently planted in Santa Marta, Colombia. My purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment, and to do that fearlessly, because life be life and people be people it. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Okay. So in this space here, all right, we operate by the three keys, okay? Accountability, transparency, and integrity, okay? And before we go further, we want to make sure that we're clear about expectations, what you can expect from us and what we expect from you, okay? So what you can expect from us to operate out the three keys. We're going to keep it real. We're going to speak freely. And particularly as it relates to this conversation, we are going to speak freely, meaning that we might cuss if and when we feel like it. So if you have little listeners, maybe you need to have some headphones, some AirPods, maybe not, that's your business. But we are going to speak freely in this space, always and forever, and what we expect from you, okay? If you come in with hate speech, hate comments, not over here. We proudly serve in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. So we want you to engage with intention with us, or be escorted to the Block pew, because the Block is hot. And we want you to go on this journey with us. We're not the experts in all things, but please be clear. In the things that we are experts in, we do that, okay? And we want you to participate in this journey and bring people with you, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal. Okay?
Okay. So let me tell you all how to interact with us over in this space, also recognizing that this may be your first time hanging out with us. So if you are here during the live premiere, also come into the chat so that you can talk to us and talk to the community that is there and talk to each other. Okay. And one of the ways that we communicate around here is using emojis. So we have our collective emoji and then we have individual emojis. Our collective emoji is the heart with the bandage wrapped around it. So if you are here with us recording, while we are recording, go ahead and drop some of those hearts into the chat. If you're watching during the live premiere, go ahead and drop some of those hearts in the chat. If you're watching during the replay, girl, pause the video and go comment, leave us some of them hearts in the chat, okay? That is the way that we know that you are connected to this community. So that is our collective heal that shit emoji. We also have individual emojis. My emojis are the sunflower and the crayon. The sunflower, because yellow is my favorite color. It reminds me of the sun. It brings me joy, makes me happy. And sunflowers are a symbol of that. And when sunflowers are not able to find the sun, they turn towards each other. So it is a symbol that is near and dear to my heart. And it's also the symbol for invisible disabilities. And I am someone who is neurodivergent and figuring out what that means more and more every single day. And so I am a fierce advocate for those of us who live with conditions that you might not be able to see on the surface. And the crayon, because there was a time in my life where my life was very, very black and white and gray, and I made a conscious decision to color the fuck out of my life. Insert said crayon. So that represents all of the boldness and the color and the intentional decisions to have joy. So Bianca, please tell them your emojis.
Me. So, my emojis. Okay, so first we have the teddy bear because it is teddy bear season, always and forever. Got a lot of love to give, a lot of love to receive. And because I am such a beautiful plus size woman, I'm also very, very soft. Okay, and I'm enjoying this soft life. Okay. The hands that form the heart. I've been very transparent and vulnerable with my journey as it relates to me having heart failure, having a pacemaker, and having to go at my own pace. And I am recommending and saying for you to do the same. You might not have heart failure. You might not have a pacemaker, but please believe that you need to go at your own pace because life is life and out here. I said it at the beginning and I'm going to continue to say it throughout this entire episode because life be life and people be people. And so it is important to protect your heart, protect your peace, monitor your stress. And those are my emojis, the teddy bear and the hands that form the heart.
Amen. I want to underscore that monitor your stress. I've talked to a few people this week and they've said things to me like, my blood pressure is really high, or like, I'm really stressed out. And I need us to take those things seriously, please, because we have a lot that we're going to need to be working through and living through. And so we need to really be aware of our heart rates and our stress levels and all of that. So I just wanted to underscore that. So also, if you are wanting, so we are here on YouTube, right, in video format, but we're also in audio format. So if you want to listen to us audio, you can do that where all of the podcasts are housed. So whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever they be casting podcasts, we are there. And if you would like to see the visuals that we have going on, see our beautiful faces and all the things that we have over here in visual space, please do come over to YouTube. If you search Heal That Shit, you will find us there. And then also please make sure that you go to our website, wehealthatshit.com. Then you will be able to join our mailing list, see the book list that we have. We have a playlist over there. We have downloadable resources over there. So go and take a visit to wehealthatshit.com and get connected. All right. So let us go ahead and transition into our first segment, which is the spirit check. And the spirit check is the part of the episode where we take a moment to do just that, to check our spirits and to see how we are feeling, what's the status of what's going on. And we do that in a way using colors. All right. So I'm going to share here on the screen what this looks like for those of you who are watching visually. If you are listening, I will describe what it looks like. And then we'll also model that for you so that you can share with us how your spirit is feeling today. So here on the screen, we have four different categories and they are arranged by color. So green, I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So again, if you're hanging out with us here, you can drop the colored emojis that correlate with how your spirit is feeling right now. Or you can get real fancy and tell us in different shapes and sizes and things. I'm going to show you what we're talking about right now. So it's on me. And let's say, first of all, do I want to say that now? I'm going to save that for later. Okay, let me just answer this question. So how's my spirit feeling right now? In this very moment, I feel that I am overall blue. But if I had to say what type of blue, you know how they have like, there's like red, red, violet, violet, red, blue, violet, blue, violet, you know what I'm talking about in the crayon box. I feel very much like blue violet, if you will. If I kind of go with that same thing, you know, what's so interesting is this morning I had started journaling and I was talking with my Patreon this morning. I did an open letter to people that I know. So if you know me, I am going to make this letter public and I do need you to go and watch. And then we also talked about paradise. But anyway, while we were there, I had shared with them, you remember when I used to date Dr. Asshole and he told me that I wasn't autistic and I don't have OCD, right? And so I made a post this morning and I was like, this is me lining up my pens to journal. Because I definitely do be lining up things. So when I say blue violet, I feel like that's kind of where I am. Like I'm very much in that range. And so that is my description today. Imagine that were a heart that had pins lined up and it's kind of like a gradient going across, kind of blue. I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And it's kind of like a gradient.
I like the visual. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. My spirit currently right now, I would say that I am a gradient heart. So from one color to the next, it would be like a blue transitioning to green. but there are purple dots that are there and yellow dots. Less yellow than the purple, but it's like a transition between the blue to the green. So I'm in a space where, like, I am choosing to stay focused on the positive. I am choosing to be very intentional with what is capturing my attention and my energy right now due to the fact that my capacity hasn't been the same for some time now, and I'm balancing that. So that's how I would describe my heart. Like, it's, I like how the green is like coming out and it's like great, but also being mindful that there are dots, they are there, there are things that are happening, and the gradient definitely shows, like, it's like I see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm still in the tunnel, so it's just kind of like, I'm trucking along, going my own pace, but at the same time, boy, can we get to the light? Can we get to it? Jesus!
So, yeah. I feel like I'm a bobblehead doll. I'm over here like, I feel that. I feel that deeply. So that is an example for how to do the spirit check. And in the past, y'all, we have done polka dots and stripes and plaid and fireworks and lava lamps and slinkies. It is really no right or wrong way to do this. We just want you to really take a moment to search your spirit. And this is an accessible way to be able to communicate with us what that looks like and sounds like. So if you are watching during the live premiere, go ahead and answer the poll question. If you're here with us while we're recording, please go ahead and answer in the chat. And again, if you're watching during the replay, please do pause the video right quick and let us know in the comments how you are feeling. So let's get into the transparency moment. What's going on in your world? What is happening?
So I am still adjusting to being in Santa Marta, Colombia. I really enjoy the environment. I really enjoy the community of people that we've been able to connect with. I'm really excited for me to be back on a boat on Saturday so that I could twerk and take pictures and look cute. I am in a place
with sunblock this time, because the last time y'all went out there, y'all came back and had peeling skin.
Yes. So I told Kalanda that she needs to make sure that she has sunblock, not suntan. And I will continue to adhere the lotion and moisturization on my body, because we got to keep it soft and luscious. Okay. Again, teddy bear season, always and forever. I will say I've been in this working spirit of working for so many different people during different projects. And while at times it makes my ADHD happy because I'm not stuck on the same thing over and over again, but because of my ADHD and because of that, one wrong move in a project can halt it for a long time. So I'm not sure if I'm going to have this in post, but we haven't really had an intentional conversation about my contract with. They are in active litigation about the intellectual property of the Alumni Association. Wow. And it's just so interesting that I am a person that is in this somehow, because of what we went through with Teaching for the Culture and fighting for the intellectual property, and how I was advocating for them to protect their intellectual property because they didn't have access to their domain name. It's an alumni that is holding the domain name and is doing it for them for a favor. But again, you could be cool with somebody today and not be cool with them tomorrow. And then it changes everything. So I'm like, yo. So that has been interesting, to say the least. So that halted all of my pending payments that was supposed to come. That halted the whole project of what was supposed to be happening. So what I thought was going to happen, being able to get this done by a certain time, get X amount of money because I'm doing X, Y, Z. Like, all of that, that's different for me. So it has caused me to pivot and shift and be like, okay, so I got to get another project to fill in this gap while they're doing this over here, because shit still do. You know this. I know this. Everybody should know this at this point, that the stuff still is due, regardless of whatever you got going on, no matter how tragic, unfortunate it is. The people don't care, is what I've gathered. So, okay. So I was trying to figure out, all right, so how am I shifting and pivot? Cool. Got another project that came through the queue through one of my sorors. Grateful. Grateful for sorority sisters to come in to be like, hey, I thought about you for this project. Let me tag you in with the person so that y'all could connect and meet. She signed a proposal today. Won't God do it? So it is just a blessing to be able to pivot in the way that I am, but also noting that I have been an entrepreneur for over 11 years. And the way that I've structured my business and have been historically is I have some retainers that will do, you know, the forecasting of what's coming in. And then I have the projects that I take. And the problem is that when you are in a space where you don't want to have a bunch of people to manage and you don't want to have a huge team to guide and navigate and be responsible for all of that, you are literally, I don't want to use the word stuck, but that's the word I'm gonna use. You're literally stuck with the few projects that you have to make sure that you get done before you go out there and try to get more projects. Otherwise, you're not going to be satisfying your clients because of turnaround, because of the gaps between, you know, getting information and completing a project. And like Shekinah is here, you know, watching. She knows, you know, she's a digital designer. So she knows that at any moment that a client is like, hey, I need to shift and pivot, that could change your whole business, your whole operations, just the whole way of work, right? So I was like, okay, so I need to get back focused on my digital products and the things that is going to be just out there. So I started working back on my tech stack and digital audit and all that good stuff. And yeah, I'm really, really excited to hone in on that. But because of my workload and because of so much that's been going on at one time, it has limited me from being as active as I want to be with my own projects and my own ventures, because I'm actively working on these other ventures to support my lifestyle and to make sure that I eat and that I'm able to do the things that I need to do to be able to function. So it's just one of those drawbacks when people always talk about entrepreneurship is so great and all that. And yeah, like, okay, cool. So entrepreneurship is great until you have a client that doesn't pay you on time, or a vendor that doesn't pay you on time, or you don't get the information that you need in a timely manner, which then delays the whole process and progress of what you're doing. Or you run into these one-off situations where it just gets wild and you don't know necessarily how you're going to fix it. And then thinking about how to fix it, coming up with solutions, take away bandwidth and energy that you could be doing with something else, for something else, you know? So that has been interesting. But being in Santa Marta doing that, though, that's a blessing. Because I'm seeing the stuff that's outside. My parents just got back from Hawaii. They were stranded in Hawaii. They ended up going to Las Vegas. They had to cancel with Southwest because Southwest was wild. They ended up flying back with Delta. And there is so much that's happening with the airports. TSA agents aren't getting paid. People out here traveling and just wanting to be safe and, you know, wanting to go from place to place. But gas is rising because of the war that's happening. And then you have people that are in charge being like, hey, actually, I got to resign because the way that we doing stuff out here, this ain't right. And I have to resign from my conscience. And then people are like, well, is this a good thing or is this even worse? Because at least you have a conscience that's writing about it. Now you done left, and who's going to be put into place that maybe don't have a conscience, that maybe is not telling the people? There is so much going on, Kim. So what I've said is that I'm going to focus on the things that I can control and to continue to be peaceful and to focus on my peace and my pace. Because what I cannot do and what I continue to uplift and emphasize through this journey is that I can't get too caught up in these rabbit holes, going down these different places with different people, and then expending my energy, my time, my heart rate, all of that, And then for what? For what? So I saw a video of these kids tearing up the school. Tearing up the school. Usually I would get so emotionally charged watching the video. And all I did was just shake my head. Like the whole feelings to things now is shifted, where I would be emotionally charged and wanting to do something about it, to now I'm like, wow. I hope those parents talk to those children and check the backpacks, because I don't understand for the life of me how all of these children are coming to these campuses with all these firearms. Where are these firearms coming from? And you don't know what's coming in and out your house? Like, hey, peace. Peace. So I'm eating good. I'm looking good. I'm being loved on good. I don't have no complaints. I'm choosing not to. While life is life and people are people, and I'm choosing peace. So that's my transparency moment. People wilding out here, contracts being halted, folks out here operating out the ego, and I'm going to continue to choose peace and be intentionally grateful for what God has given me, because I thank God that I'm still here to tell my story.
Yeah. I relate to so much of what you've talked about. And, you know, I've been talking with my Patreon about my journey behind the scenes and stuff. But just to bring it forward just a little bit, when you talked about a decision that's made over here impacts you and you ain't even got nothing to do with it. Like, that's how things have been. I work in education. You know, and so I just got payment yesterday for work that I did in November. And I have been feeling like I'm on life support. I was talking this morning in the open letter that I recorded, like I've probably been existing somewhere between 15 to 25% of my capacity since the beginning of the year. And like those of you that tune in, you've been gradually watching me just dwindling and dwindling because I haven't had my medicine. And because I haven't had my medicine, my brain has just felt like it's just chugging along, just trying to do the bare minimum, you know, to keep things running. And it was an interesting realization because I got my medicine yesterday and then I took it and it was like walking into a wing of the building that everything has just been covered and there are no lights on, and then turning on the lights and all of a sudden being able to see like what you're dealing with. That's what it felt like. It was like the lights in that department of my brain just came on and they have not been on at all during this time. And it just really made me, one, grateful that I finally had access to my medicine, but also just like, how have I been making it? How have I been functioning? And I know that I have been saying, you know, I'm trying to keep it together, or I'm saying the words, but I don't know that the words were communicating the gravity of what was really happening as I'm over here literally fighting for my life, like every day. So now that I have my medicine, I really am like, okay, but it also creates like a sense of paranoia because it's like, I cannot not have my medicine. Like I have to have my medicine. But also when you're working in an industry that is very much, if somebody over here says they want to do this, or somebody over there said they want to do that, and then you don't get paid, and the people do not care. They do not care that they haven't given you your money. They do not care that a canceled contract is going to literally not allow you to eat. People do not care about those things. That's not a consideration in what they need to do to feel like they need to save themselves. So it is a very interesting place to live. And I also relate when you say just choosing what you're going to focus on, because I've had to do the same. Even the things that you mentioned that are happening right now, like things have come across my eyes, but I also have not really taken anything in because I don't have capacity to do that right now. Like I am literally trying to focus on, thankfully, on my projects, but also that takes capacity. You know, I'm in the middle of Discover Your Destiny right now, and Shekinah and I have found her future. And so we're planning that. And that is work that has to be done because of where we are right now, and because of everything that's happening. We have to have this infrastructure and community in place so that we can support each other outside of the system of capitalism. So it is necessary work, and it is essential work, but it is also work. So it's just a lot. And I was just very grateful that I was able to get my medicine. Like, and it's crazy because I never really, and I know you can relate to this with insurance, like all that kind of stuff. I've never really been on medication like that. So, but I've always heard stories like people are like, I have to choose between my insulin and my lights, you know, and like, it really is a big deal when someone needs medication and you don't have access to it. And then you're cutting corners, or you're just taking half of a pill. And then that half of a pill turns into a fourth of a pill because you don't know when you're going to be able to have more. So like, it's just been really interesting. And I know that things are, at least in the U.S., are just continuing to escalate, and they're going to continue to escalate. But I think this is the time where more of us really need to be intentionally figuring out how we can support each other, because people are like, we're carrying all this stuff, you know, and it's like we have to be able to share the load with each other so it's not so heavy, because many hands make light work. And that's something that we talk about often over here. That's something that I talk about often on my platforms. And so I'm just sharing that again because thankfully I was able to get my medicine. Some people are not. And what does that mean for them and for their health and what that looks like? And these are people that are vital to the mission of helping all of us to continue to be here and not in survival mode over the past however many years that it's going to take to undo all of the damage that has been done, which, mind you, all the damage hasn't even been done yet. We're still in the damaging process. So in that, it reminds me, have y'all been watching Paradise over there?
Kalanda has been watching Paradise. I have not.
Oh my God. It's literally about like this, like the world is crumbling and we have to find community to be able to support ourselves because the world is crumbling. And so to any of y'all that watch Paradise, like I was watching it and I was literally like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Like, we are supposed to be, this is my skill set. This is your skill set. This is what I can do. This is how I can help. This is how we can get these projects off the ground so that when people come, because they're coming, that we have infrastructure in place. But first, that we're able to stabilize ourselves. So I've really like been on that, but it was quite an awakening yesterday to be like, damn, my brain has not been working at all over this time. Like, I have literally been showing up, but it's been big skeleton crew. So I am looking forward. You had mentioned earlier during the spirit check that you feel like you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not there. I really don't see light. I'm still walking very much in darkness and trusting that the next step is what the next step is going to be. But I do believe that they are steps toward the light, wherever that is. And so it's interesting. And I need us to kind of band together, folks, because it's when we be saying this a lot, I know sometimes we don't really contextualize that, but it is a lot that is going on right now. And these are not normal times. We are very much even past unprecedented. This is just like full on. I told my Patreon this morning, get out The Handmaid's Tale, Paradise. We're full on like in those type of worlds right now. And there are those of us like myself who are prophets and who are saying, hey, we need to be paying attention to some things, and people not listening. So you kind of have to decide where you're going to be. You're going to tap in, you're going to listen, you're going to get connected, or you just be bopping around like everything is fine. And then shit hits the fan. You just going to be out there because, you know, we have to, once it's time to press the button to be like, all right, we're done. We over here insulated. We ain't just letting anybody come on in the door. Okay. So we got to get it together. So yeah, so that is my transparency moment. And I was able to journal this morning, which I also haven't done since the beginning of the year. And so that felt good. But yeah, it's time to really like focus on what our things are supposed to be.
Amen. So two-part question. One, like, how would you describe your brain, people, brain space now in this moment and in this season? And then two, for the folks that are in these sectors that are experiencing so much harm that is happening, how do you encourage them to keep going, like how you kept going in spite of?
Mm-hmm. So it's very much day two, right? You walk into a new space, you gotta dust, you gotta clean, you gotta sweep, you have to put the things, organize the furniture how you want it to be. Like, I'm very much there. It's very much like, okay, all right, the lights are on. We have furniture. It's almost like, if I use it in teacher terms, it's the beginning of the year and you get back to your classroom after the summer. And now it's time to get everything ready for the students to come. You know what I mean? You got to clean every surface. You got to put up the bulletin boards. You got to figure out, you're going to be in groups or they're going to be in pairs. You making copies. You're, you know, getting your first aid packets together. You're setting up your spreadsheets. Like, it's very much that. And it's interesting because over this time, even I had a conversation with my brand bestie about like what the barriers, if you will, that come in where you got this plan and then it's like, can't even execute. And it's because of that. Like, I was using every single ounce of brain space that I had to keep myself alive and choose to go on another day, and choose to believe in this project and choose to continue to work and towards the instructions that I know that I have been given. But it was very much like, okay, I'm going to do what I can towards this, but I can't really go all in on any of that because I have to keep myself alive. Like, I have to. And trusting and believing and hoping that the money that I'm owed is going to eventually show up, that, you know, I am some kind of way, there's going to be a ram in the bush that's going to show up, you know, that's going to support. So what does it look like to keep yourself going during that time? It looks hard as fuck. That's what it looks like. It looks like a fucking fight for your life is what the hell it looks like. Having said that, and I'm not going to even say I'm on the other side of it, but also holding space for the fact that God is not a liar. And I know my instructions. I know what God said. I know that none of this was my idea. I know I didn't do anything wrong that I'm being punished for. Like, I know that I signed up for this journey. I know that my spirit said, despite all of this, despite the fact that I'm going to be sleeping on the floor or I have to eat the same meal for 5 days or like whatever that thing might be, that it is worth it on the other side of it. So it really has been an exercise in faith, honestly. And I can't say that it's easy. It's not. It's not easy at all. And for somebody like myself, when I'm in the middle of these, I'm very quiet. I just can't. Like, whatever the thing is, the answer is I can't. I got a message this morning from someone that I coach, and she said, I said no 5 times this week because I realized how much I'm overextending myself and how much I need to do to get back to myself and like, you know, having to show up for myself. I got another message from somebody else and they were like, I'm getting to the point where I feel like I need a break again. Like, I feel like I need, and I was kind of like, we've had this conversation already. We've had this conversation already. I have already put my life out here to show you all what happens when you don't listen, right? Bianca has put her life out here to show you all what happens when you don't listen to your body. Like, it is not, it's not like something light and it's like, oh, it's fine. Like, we're always borrowing from the future. And we have to realize at some point that time starts to catch up with each other. So what are we going to do to be able to make sure that we are able to still be here, that we have that testimony? Because when I tell you, people is checking out of here left and right in their 30s and 40s and 50s, checking the hell on out of here, going to that good night because of stress, because of mental health and burnout. Like, it is not a game. And so what I would say to you all, if you are feeling yourself wondering, we had a comment earlier. They said during the spirit check, they said, I'm purple acting like I'm blue. Purple are okay. Things could be better. Blue is I'm good. I don't have any complaints, right? It's like, I'm purple. Things could really be better, but I'm trying to give it my best foot forward and, you know, be blue and okay. Yes. But also, how, where are the spaces where I'm actually honoring how I am feeling right now? And then what do I need to do in order to help myself in this space to not continue to be here is like the enduring question that we have to ask. Because if we continue, you know, and not saying this is the case with that comment, but like toxic positivity, ourself, and like, everything's fine. It's like, we gaslighting ourselves. Like, it's like, everything's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I had mentioned this morning that I had a really good cry. Like, I was in here snotty nose crying. Like, just like, there has been so much that I have been carrying and just so much. And, somebody in the comments was like, I'm probably due for a good cry. I'm probably due for one too. And it's like, yeah, we're just holding all this stuff and not being honest with ourselves about how things are going and how things are feeling and where we are in our different spaces. So at the beginning of the year, we had chosen our pillars of wellness and our word for the year. And like, that's not something that we just doing just to do, you know, like it's, we have to tend to those areas. And so mine were spiritual, psychological, and environmental. And that's what I've been doing is I have been looking for a depth with God and being in Discover Your Destiny. That always helps anytime that I facilitate a course, because I can't help but to see God show up. I can't help but to see God show up in other people's lives and be reminded that I am doing what I'm supposed to do. And then psychologically, I was able to get my medicine. And now I have to get my routines back as much as I possibly can so that I am able to be not just functional, but able to be creative and able to do the things that need to get done. And then environmentally setting myself up for success. What is my space like? What are the different things that I need to be asking myself about what I really need to be successful? So I invite you all to ask yourselves those same questions. If you're in a situation where you're thinking to yourself, I'm barely holding on, because many of us are. That's what I want you to know. And people out here putting their highlight reels down there to the social media. And I need you to know that in real life, people are barely holding on, because it's a lot that's going on right now. It's a lot. And if you're not the person that's barely holding on, I want you to look around the people that are around you, because somebody around you is barely holding on. So let's also, you know, be aware and have our eyes open and not just looking at people, but actually see people and stop and think about those people, the people that are dropping into your spirit, the people that keep being on your heart and like all of that. Hear somebody's silence and know that there may be something else that's happening. And if you have the capacity, reach out and see who you can support and actually show up in caring action that feels like support, not what you want to do. What do they need you to do in order to support them? So I believe I answered the question with a little bit of extra, but that's all I got.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. One of the things that you said that kind of pivots into our discussion today, you mm-hmm. had said something that I want to make sure that I say intentionally. You said that you knew and you heard from God and that you knew that God told you your next steps and where to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so today's episode is about different Greek letter organizations, and Kimberlyn is going to add much more context. I'm just giving the high level here. There are organizations where people have decided and they have heard from God, and God has given them instructions to denounce the organization, to publicly share that they have denounced the organization, and also to encourage others to denounce the organization because God had told them that they were in violation of God's word, order, law, and that they were going to be the spokespeople to tell people that if you are in a D9, a Divine Nine National Panhellenic organization, that because of the oath that you took in order to become a member, you are in violation of God's order and laws, and that you need to repent and you need to denounce. And so I want you to color that in, Kimberlyn, because I know that I left out so much. But for those of you know, welcome, because we're here to have a very vibrant conversation about this topic.
So this came about, there's a viral video that has gone out. There is a lady named Melissa Blair who pledged Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated at Savannah State University in 2007. Now, Bianca and I are going to discuss our affiliations in just a moment, but spoiler alert, I am a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I pledged Delta Sigma Theta in 2001. So I crossed April 14th, 2001. This is actually my 25th year being a part of the organization coming up. So Melissa did this. She's on a podcast tour right now with different podcasters and sharing her experiences joining the organization, as well as the fact that she has chosen to denounce and all the reasons why. So before we get into the things, the first thing that I want to share for those of you who may be tangential to Black Greek letter life is there are 9 Greek letter organizations. Okay, there are 5 fraternities and there are 4 sororities. All right, so I'm going to list them off for you. There is Alpha Phi Alpha, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Kappa Alpha Psi, Omega Psi Phi, Delta Sigma Theta, and I guess I should be saying sorority fraternity, but it's too late now. Delta Sigma Theta, Phi Beta Sigma, Zeta Phi Beta, Sigma Gamma Rho, and Iota Phi Theta. So those are the 9 Black Greek letter organizations, collectively known as the Divine Nine. So Bianca and I are both in sororities. And I want to start off, before we get into the whole Melissa Blair thing, I want to start off with us sharing our affiliation stories. So I shared again that I crossed April 14th, 2001 at Fisk University, this Alpha Beta chapter. We actually, Alpha Beta chapter just celebrated on March 13th, our 100th year of existence. Alpha Beta chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated is the oldest collegiate chapter in the South. We were founded on the campus of Howard University, 22 founders. I'm not listing them. So that's the organization that I belong to. Now, I'm also about to pass the mic for Bianca to share. But the first question that we have here is why we wanted to pledge. And I'm going to say the reason that I chose Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated was because, probably mostly because of my high school guidance counselor, Ms. Dillon. If you have followed me for any amount of time, you've heard me talk about Ms. Dillon. Every time I talk about Ms. Dillon, I get teary-eyed, because she saw me when a lot of people didn't. And she helped me to make decisions to further my life when I was ready to just be like, girl, I don't even care no more. She didn't know, but she had the intuition, if you will, to know. So y'all have heard me snotty nose cry about Ms. Dillon. I was able to say that to her just before I left Florida in 2020. She actually used to come on my lives. And I was just like, oh my God, it's Ms. Dillon. So anyway, Ms. Dillon was a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And I just always viewed her so, not necessarily like regally, but I just had so much respect for her. Like, she was on her shit. She knew her shit. She was on her shit. She was about that business. And the way that she showed up for us as students was just with this deep, deep, deep heart of caring. So that is why I chose my organization, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
I am a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated with our 20 Pearls of the Mu Theta chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated on the campus of the University of North Florida, which is in Jacksonville, Florida. Duval, I pledged in fall of 2010. And yeah. I have 8 beautiful line sisters. Well, actually, technically 7 is 8 of us in total. So I have 7 beautiful sisters, some of which I haven't spoken to in years. So this is going to be an interesting discussion. But the reason why I wanted to be a part of the organization is I've seen so many boss women that were a part of Greek letter organizations, and my dad is an alpha. So I was definitely infused with Greek life and different organizations because of my father. And so when the opportunity came, I took it. And here we are today to talk about taking experiences and what God has said about those experiences.
So one of the other questions we know that is going to come up is our current status with the organization, our status with our line, our status with our profiles, all of that. So I'm also trying to give some education here as well as information. Also, I was sitting here thinking, girl, when I was teaching, this was either my first or second year. It might have been my second year teaching sixth grade science. And the school decided, I was at McLean at the time, and they decided that they were going to have all sixth grade teachers do a block of geography. Okay. Now, my degree is in biology. You understand? Not geography. Okay. So why anybody would ask me to teach geography was beyond me, because social studies was not my thing. And all right, we gonna see, right? And so because of that, we did not learn geography. I mean, we colored maps and we made food and all of that. But at some point, we were just like, over this. And one of the things that I did is I educated my students on the Black Greek letter organizations. And we went through each one. We talked about each one's history and their founders and what they stood for and like all of that, because I didn't want, like, I didn't grow up knowing about these organizations, and I didn't want my students to go off to college, which granted they were just in sixth grade at the time, but it's never too early to start talking to kids about things that happen in school and like prepare them for life. And they were so interested, right? So so I actually like did a unit where a whole quarter where we talked about the different Greek letter organizations. And that was so funny. But anyway, so I am not currently active with Delta Sigma Theta, and it's for a few reasons. One, money. It does cost money to remain active with the organization. You pay yearly dues, and I ain't got it, okay? The other thing is that I became very disillusioned with there's kind of like a all or nothing culture sometimes in our organizations about what it looks like to work on behalf of the organization. And so let me also say all of the 9 Greek letter organizations, the point of them is community service. They are community service organizations. We're service organizations first. That is the point of even being in existence. Okay. I'm not going to get into going back and forth, Delta, AKA, all of that. It don't matter right now at this juncture. At the root of it all, we are here to serve our people. And that looks different for Delta. It's very much scholarship, service, social action. Other organizations have their own little tagline or whatever you call it. So anyway, because I'm very much have a service heart, I very much am always looking for ways to be able to give my gifts. But just like in the church, they will use you until you are bone dry. Okay. And I learned that very quickly. And I was like, let me tell you something. What I cannot do is give all of my everything. We got a song, All of My Love, Peace and Happiness. And every organization has a version of this. Belongs to Delta Sigma Theta. Let me tell you what I can't do is give you everything. Okay. So no. All right. So I'm not active right now. My current status with my line, there were 16 of us. There were 14 of us that pledged, and I guess we'll get into that in a little bit. And but of all of that, there is one of my line sisters that I talk to consistently. I've left the group chats because something that I've noticed, and I think a disillusion that I had with joining a sorority, is that I would have these sisters and we would like each other. And what I have discovered over time is that people don't be liking me. And I have to be okay with that. And just because we went through a process together does not mean that you actually like me or care about me. We just shared a common experience. So having said that, there's one of my line sisters that I talk to consistently. We actually went to high school together. So we had a bond before the organization. And it's not that I'm beefing with anybody. At least I don't know about the beef because I've definitely asked. But I also have removed myself from that because I'm in a place where I want to make sure that my energy is going to people that actually do love and care about my existence, not people that I'm just linked to in name. Same thing with prophytes. Prophytes are the people that bring someone into the organization. And so like big sister, if you will. And so I had 22 prophytes. One of them passed away. So that will leave 21. Out of the 21, I talked to one of them consistently. I have talked to maybe 3 of them over time. And a lot of this happens on Facebook. And because I'm not really on Facebook anymore, I think it's very easy to forget that I exist. So there is one of my profiles that actively reaches out and like keeps in touch and like, I want to know that you good. So that is my status with the organization, the line, and my profiles.
So I am currently inactive, and I say currently and will probably remain inactive. I don't necessarily have any intentions of joining a graduate chapter or financially investing into the organization. I will continue to do my service independently and will provide that, but I don't necessarily need to do that up under the organization. As far as my relationship with my line sisters, so again, I shared that it's 8 of us total. I have good relations with about 5 of them. I'll say 4 and a possible. for my prophytes, there's not a lot of prophytes that I can say that I have a really cool relationship with. I am in some group chats, but very much I'm the girl in a different country now. But before moving to a different country and before having this experience, very much secluded, and a lot of, I was very much to myself and was okay with that. And was very close to, again, some of my line sisters who have helped me through some of the darkest times and periods of my life, and I love them with everything in me. Yeah. So I'm going to continue to serve and provide service, but I don't necessarily think that I need to provide Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated a check every year in order to do that at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I'll also underscore another reason that I choose not to provide the check is I personally feel like my organization has moved away from being at the hub of social action and change because they're a nonprofit. And once you go nonprofit, you have to like you are, how do I want to say? You probably could say more about this. Like, you can only say certain particular things because your 501c3 status is in danger. So, like, you can't take political stance. You can't, like, really talk about the things that are actually happening. You have to kind of toe that line. Am I on accurate with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So due to compliance with having a 501c3, there are certain obligations and requirements that these nonprofits have to follow. And a lot of times it requires them to be nonpartisan, meaning that they cannot have public conversations about certain political figures or make any type of endorsements. And they have to be very, very meticulous with how they provide information as it relates to voting and just even some of the social action things that have been taking place. I know I was really upset during the George Floyd movement during COVID when there were actual instructions of like, if you're going to protest, don't wear your mm-hmm. colors, don't wear mm-hmm. your nailia. And it was just kind of like, I thought we were supposed to be repping our set, and we can't mm-hmm. rep our set because we're fighting about racial injustice and police brutality and the lack of accountability from the people that's supposed to protect us. Like, that's a wild take. And mm-hmm. to just see how some of the organizations are very quick to protect their organization, and sometimes it comes at the expense and harm to us, the people, when we're like, hey, so let's not be Sister Soldier or Brother Malcolm as it relates to these matters. We're going to try to handle them as best we can with following these processes and procedures, although that's not very clear as to what that looks like. So it's just kind of like, are you about it or you not? And I'm not saying it to say that organizations are not. But what I am saying from my personal lived experience is that I've seen people harmed because they wanted to rep their organization fighting for justice, and the fact that we have these organizations to fight for justice and to promote scholarship and to fight for the people, and then to be like, well, what's like the actual fight? Like, an annual dinner, a scholarship ball,
right. Or a mass really line dance, like stuff like that sends me. So that, because I am about it, bitch, I am a Sister Soldier about it, Malcolm type of bitch. I got to say the things. I'm about to talk about the injustice. I'm putting it on the front page. I'm calling names. I'm saying the things, because we don't have time to be sitting up here trying to color within the lines when it's clear that ain't no lines and they just doing whatever the hell they want to do. And again, in regards to Delta, like our first Delta was founded January 13, 1913. In March of that year, their first social action was being a part of the women's suffrage movement. And they joined a parade that they had. And mind you, this is 1913. So things are very much segregated. Black women are not supposed to be there. Black women were not supposed to be a part of the conversation about women being able to vote. And Delta Sigma Theta led that charge to say, we need to have our voices heard. So now 113 years later to be like, we can't say nothing because we're nonprofit and we can't speak out about the injustices. I, Kimberlyn, just am not, I'm not about to support that. So I'm not paying money into that when I'm knowing I'm financing a boat ride. I'm good on that. Like, I will use my money to actually, like, make change. So, again, my personal experience. And that's kind of like, that's my thing with dues and why I'm not active, because I just don't agree with the way that things are going. So having said that, as I mentioned before, there was this video that was posted by someone who was a member of Delta Sigma Theta and has now renounced. Her name is Melissa Blair. She pledged in 2007 at Savannah State. And she has been on the internet sharing her experiences as well as all sorts of proprietary information about the organization, about her process. And she is saying that that was done under instruction from God. Now, I'm not somebody who can tell somebody whether God said something to them or whether God didn't say nothing to them. I know my personal relationship with God, and I know how God talks to me, and I know what I need to be accountable for. So I'm not here to say whether she heard from God or whether she didn't hear from God and what God she talking to or talking about, because I don't know, and I don't know that lady. But we watched her video, and it was 2 hours. And probably some change, too. I listened to it on 1.5 to 1.75 speed because from the moment she opened her mouth, my head started hurting. For me, it gave very big religious vibes and like religious cult-ish type vibes that many people are wrapped up in. Because they don't have a personal relationship with God, they are very much receiving the type of Christianity that is rooted in white supremacy culture and patriarchy and is not who God is, big God with the big G. It was giving me a lot of that. So it was making my head hurt. Okay. So I really just speeded it on up so I could get on through it. But we took some notes. All right. And there are some things that she did say that are accurate. Okay. And there are other things that she said where I was like, now, girl, I don't know about that part. One of the things she talked about is that the process to join the organization is exhausting. And I agree with that. I definitely, again, this was 25 years ago for me. And there were many late nights, many of which were not sanctioned. So let me actually pause here for a moment and say this. There is an official process to join the organization. This is something else that she shared. There's an official process to join the organization. That is how you join the organization. There's an application. There's an interview. There is some type of ceremony to like welcome you into the organization. Then you have to learn some information. You have to take a test. You have to pass the test. And then you have a ceremony in order to officially now be a part of the organization. So those are the official things. Also within that, there are unofficial things that happen. Okay, so unofficial things is like when we use the word pledging. Pledging is not a word that's used by any of the Greek letter organizations anymore. It's now called a membership intake process. If you have seen movies, for instance, like School Days or what's that other one? They're Stomp the Yard. They're very much dramatizations of what it looks like to join a Greek letter organization, including this quote unquote underground process. And so I am somebody who did pledge, and I understand and am familiar with some of the things that happen in these quote unquote underground processes. I will also say that those processes include hazing. And let me also be unequivocal in saying this. All 9 of the Black Greek Letter organizations are anti-hazing organizations on paper. That is the official statement, the official statements from their headquarters, from we call it like Big Delta or Big AKA or Big Alpha or whomever, that on paper they have actively said there is not to be any type of underground situations, that everything is supposed to be handled during the official process. Also, there are individual chapters of the organizations. So there's the grand chapter, which is like the head organization or the head chapter. And then there are collegiate chapters, and then there are alumni chapters. Every single one of those chapters brings members into the organization. And they are supposed to follow those instructions that there is only an official process. You go through these steps, okay? Also, it is very hard to control that many chapters with that many different people being in charge of intake. So hazing does happen. Now, I want to be clear that hazing is not something that just happens in Black Greek letter organizations. Hazing is something that happens in many places, including church, the military, the police force, the gospel choir. Hazing is any humiliating, degrading, abusive, or dangerous activity expected of a person joining or participating in a group, regardless of their willingness to participate. It's a form of harassment used as an initiation rite, often causing physical, mental, or emotional harm. It can look like peer pressure. It can look like if you quid pro quo, if you will, if you don't do this, then you won't get that. Like, it can look a lot of different ways, but it is not unique to Black Greek letter organizations, okay? It is not something that Black Greek letter organizations even came up with. It is something that the white folk came up with, all right? So just to be clear on that. But because of that, the membership intake process is very exhausting. There is a lot of information. There are a lot of late nights. There's a lot of, it's a short amount of time. So there's a lot that happens. And during that process, because there is exhaustion, there are also memory gaps that sometimes form. So to be fair, Melissa was sharing some things and I was like, I don't remember that. But it also could be that I don't remember that. That doesn't necessarily mean that that didn't happen. It could be, I don't remember that because I was so tired. I'm going to pause here and see if there's anything that you want to throw in or if we have any questions from those who are here with us live.
I don't see any questions in the chat. I've been watching it. And you okay. can continue on. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So she talked about the exhaustion. She talked about the collective trauma and the memory gaps. And then she went on to talk about the things that she had done in the name of the organization. Now, I want to repeat again. The organizations have made it very clear that they do not co-sign, support, endorse these types of behaviors. Melissa said that she did it. I don't feel that there was remorse that was present, but that's just me. I very much felt like, okay, girl, it just feels like a performance to me. But nonetheless, she did say that she did. She was like, I did horrible things to girls over 4 years. And apparently at her school, they were allowed is not the right word. At her school, during the unofficial intake process, they used people who were not current collegiate students to be a part of that process. So that's how she was able to have four lines of girls that she did whatever she did to them. In my experience, the only people that are involved in the collegiate intake process were collegiate peoples. So there's no possible way, because usually you can't pledge until you are a sophomore. So there's no possible way that you would be able to bring in four lines. At the most, you'd be able to bring in two. For myself, I brought in one line. But nonetheless, she shared these things that she had done in the name of the organization. And all I kept asking myself was like, why did you choose to do that? Because I went through a process and there were things that were done to me that I did not agree with, or there were, you know, these late nights or what have you, or even I'll give y'all an example. Like there were times where my profiles would be like, go get me something to eat and something to drink and not give money. Expect me, college student, to they also college student, but me, younger college student, to go and use my money to feed them. And so there were times where somebody was like, I want a sandwich, and that sandwich got dropped on the ground. Or they wanted a drink, and they shouldn't have drank that drink. There were times that those things happened. And because of that, I never asked anybody to do that. I was like, I'm not going to ever do that to anybody. I made that personal choice that I'm not going to show up in that way. And so I wanted to pause here for a moment and just really talk about the personal responsibility, especially because there's a culture that is saying, treat people this way, harm people this way, what have you. But within that, you still have your personal choice of how you are going to show up. Now, I don't know if you ever had an opportunity to bring in a line or what your experience might be there.
So my line sisters that remained on campus did bring in a line. I was not a part of that. I did hear about the things that were happening and whatnot, being close to my line sisters that were doing that process, but very much was removed from the girls until they actually crossed and it was known who they were.
Okay, cool. So where do you want to go from here? Because I want to make sure that I am bringing everything in before we like get to our discussion and healing and all that kind of stuff. So I want to pause here to give you a moment to add anything if you would like.
Yeah, so I had saw the video and saw the conversations about it, and that's what prompted me to send it to Kimberlyn to be like, hey, girl, I need you to see this video, particularly because she is talking about Delta Sigma Theta. And it had been a thing where, like, I'm looking at the video now, and this video has, it's almost at 1 million views. It is at 892K views, and it was posted less than a month ago. So the fact that this has the reach that it has over 8,000 comments, and the comments were very interesting to read, to dissect, to just see different people on different scales of it. So there are some people that are in the comments that were interested in Greek life for whatever reason. It didn't align in the way that they thought it would. So you had those individuals that were in the comment that said, well, I thank God that I am not a part of that. I was interested in it. And I'm glad that, you know, God didn't have it in my plans to join. Then you have another section of people who actually went through the process, that are a member, that are actually like, Melissa, I'm so glad that you brought truth to this conversation. And because of the way that you've broken this down, it was something in my spirit too to denounce. And I just thank you for that. Then you had other individuals that saw the video and was like, I actually don't agree with the things that Melissa is saying. And I don't understand why people are denouncing and doing that publicly and even sharing the intellectual property of organizations on the internet. Then you have a group of people who are very much faith-based, that anything that is outside of God's name is the devil, witchcraft, insert narrative here, but is not of God. And so you have people that are questioning clergy and religious leaders, because some religious leaders are a member of the Greek Letter organization. And I found it very intriguing personally, because I've seen different people prior to this viral video make posts about them denouncing. It was one of the things that had came up on YouTube well before this started becoming viral. This was a conversation that was taking place during COVID back then, where it was an app called Clubhouse. I don't know if it's still popular now, but there's an audio version app called Clubhouse that they would have these meetings to talk about Divine Nine and how people need to denounce. And I was very aware of that conversation then, But then to see the trajectory, and so many people have now came out to denounce, to make their videos, to take the oath, take the intellectual property of the organization, read it line by line, show their screen, share the things that are in their membership books. And I was just like, okay, so there has to be a line here. But my ultimate question in all of this was, okay, so if God told you that you were to denounce and to tell the people, why didn't God tell me that? Because I'm a member of the organization and I had seen a video of a AKA who denounced. And so I was like, well, if God told her that, why didn't God tell me that? And this was some years ago. And so now, full circle, we're having a bunch of conversations as people are denouncing and sharing the things on the internet. And this is an important conversation because my experience being a member of a Greek letter organization was not the most pleasant experience. I was talked about. I was humiliated. I was felt less than. I wasn't treated with kindness. And there's no way that you could break somebody down to build them up. And that even concept of that, it just doesn't make sense. And that I am seeing that the behaviors are only becoming more elevated, that the things that are being asked of the folks that want to go through this process to do is worse than what I went through. And I went through some pretty traumatic things. You went through some pretty dramatic things. And the fact that now on TikTok, you could go see some of the things that are happening because they are recording it and posting it, whether intentionally, unintentionally, like it's happening. It's happening. And unfortunately, children are being hurt. Children are harmed. We just was talking on this podcast some episodes ago about Caleb, who was pledging an organization and died. And the brothers that was supposed to protect him, to cover him, to keep him safe, lied to protect them and not to protect Caleb. So it's a lot of healing.
Go ahead.
So there's a lot of healing that has to happen for our organizations moving forward, for the people who don't want to be financially invested, but still love the organization and wants it to win and to succeed and to achieve the things that they want. Also for the people who are actively a part of it and is lockstep, like, there has to be change, significant change, because more children are going to get hurt and killed if we don't address the elephant in the room and have very intentional conversations about the things that are happening and the things that are not happening that should actually be happening, like protecting our kids.
And so I want to, just because you keep saying children and kids, I want to be clear that these are collegiate organizations. So we are talking about technically young adults. So we'll be talking about young people from the ages of 18 through about 22 in regards to collegiate organizations. Now, granted, the frontal lobe is not developed until the age of 25 to 27. So they can still be considered children in some ways, but by the law, these are college students and therefore considered young adults. But that doesn't take away from what Bianca is saying, that young people are being harmed because of some of the things that are happening within the organizations. There was a question here with us live. The question is, what's the main goal of the organizations? Finding people jobs, influencing society? Like, what's the point? And I'll say again that our organizations are service organizations. The whole point is supposed to be service to our communities, service to our people. in order to ensure that we are receiving the rights that we're supposed to have, that we have educational access, that we have access to physical and mental health. Like every organization has like points that they're like, these are the things that are important to us. And they're all about being in service to the community. Now you might be asking yourself, so what the hell has harm got to do with that? Nothing. That's what it has nothing to do with that, which is why this is an issue in regards to the type of harm that's being caused to people up to the point of people losing their lives. And what happens is harm and trauma is passed down. So this line went through this particular thing. So then that line, now that they have power, they now exert their power on the next line. And then they exert their power on the next line. And it all kind of trickles down. I'll use my chapter, for example. Our chapter was suspended for 10 years because the people that we brought into the organization made very poor choices, and they got reported, and the chapter was taken away. Through my own process, there was a report that caused us to almost not be able to cross. So there's a lot. My point earlier when I was like, it's a lot to try to manage with all of these chapters, because each chapter, they suppose they got a guidebook. They got very clear instructions. I promise you, they real clear. And also, people do what they do. They are wanting to pass things down. They're doing what was done to them. It is harm that continues to trickle down. And because we don't have the actual conversations about it, we just keep perpetuating the harm. While I do not regret my decision to join Delta, I am very intentional when I talk to young ladies who are thinking about joining the organization, so that they are able to understand that they are going to have to be very clear in what their boundaries are, because people will try. And so what are you going to do if somebody says, go to the store with your own money and get me something to eat? What are you going to do if you're in the cafeteria and somebody walks by and they take your fruit punch because it's red? What are you going to do in those situations? And is that something that you want to be a part of? Because collegiate chapters operate differently from alumni chapters. I'm not saying there's no hazing in alumni chapters. I'm not saying that. And also, I have not done an intake process, so I also cannot speak to that. But alumni chapters are women that are women in their fraternities as well. So people who have graduated from college and now they're in the professional world and they still would like to seek membership into this service organization. Because again, that's the point of it, is service. Okay. So but at the collegiate level, things are becoming increasingly more dangerous. And I don't know what the answer is. Like, I really don't. I don't know what the answer is to be able to stop it. But one thing that I do know, specifically speaking for sororities, something that we talk about often is being sisterly. And I wanted us to kind of take a moment to define what that means to us when we say sisterly, because doing something like taking advantage of someone is not, I don't consider that to be sisterly, though I know that sisters do that to each other. So I'm curious, when you hear the word sisterly, what does that mean for you? And those of you who are watching again with us live, you can also contribute in the chat. But what does it mean to you when you hear sisterly?
So what I hear and what I desire would be for someone to look out for you, meaning they might not be able to solve your problem, but at least they care about your problem, that you can have a sounding board, that not just you to just dump all of your things and trauma dump, but that you have a safe space to be, that you might not always agree and you might not always get along, but there's a common respect and love for each other, that at the end of the day, we have this relationship that we've created through the process, that we are going to continue to be with each other, to look out for each other, to honor each other, to respect each other, and to ensure that we are living this life in the way that God has called us to. That's what I think of and what I expect when I hear sisterly. And it's not always like that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like my definition will also be very similar. The only thing I will probably add is something we had talked about before, which is the accountability piece and like the mutual accountability to each other. There should be someone that is able to pull my coattails, if you will, and to help me to show up in my best light. And I should also be able to do that in return. I definitely expect, if this is supposed to be a sisterhood type of relationship, that my sisters would be someone that, like you said, care and are willing to be in the gap, if you will, in times where things might not be flowing in ways. I expect that my sisters, I expect to know my sisters. I expect to be having conversations about what's actually happening in our lives and holding space for each other. And again, helping each other to be able to show up as better people, as better sisters, as better women, as better moms, as better wives. Like, I expect that my sisters, I will have a deep relationship with that is long lasting and enduring. Because the other thing that I also forgot to bring up is that our organizations are lifelong commitments. And while white Greek letter organizations are just something that they do in college, and I can't speak to what their programs and all that are, I do not know. But what I do know is that that's a college thing. For us, our commitments are lifetime commitments. I am going to commit my life to a life of service over the course of my life. And I align with these ideals, and this is something that I want to do for the rest of my life. And so with that lifetime commitment, I expect that I now have sisters for a lifetime, that there is a collection of women that I can go to when I need support or when I need to be heard, that I can support and that I can hear them. So that's what I think about when I think about sisterhood. And so in that, there, like I mentioned earlier, is personal responsibility and how we are to show up in those relationships. And it pains me because we, like, in Greek processes, there are like certain poems and things that we all learn, and we have a different version and like all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that kind of comes up a lot is like, he ain't heavy, he's my brother, or she's not heavy, she's my sister. And unfortunately, I have not experienced that. I've definitely felt very heavy, very, very, very heavy to my sisters, and very forgotten, you know, and cast out. And even to that, I had mentioned earlier that there were 16 of us on my line, but there were 14 of us that pledged. In my pledge process, two of my line sisters decided that they did not want to pledge. And the communication and programming that we got was basically delete them. Just forget that they exist. They don't exist anymore. They don't get to do activities. They don't get a t-shirt. They don't get a jacket. They're not coming for the reunion. They don't get invited on trips. Like, just delete them. They don't exist. That is not sisterhood. That is not sisterhood. That's not sisterly. And so where I'm bringing these things up, because I think it is important, especially if any of you that are listening to this are considering joining a Greek letter organization, I think it's important for you to, one, ask yourself what these words mean, but to also recognize if these things are what you are seeking and they're not present, that this might not be a positive experience for you. If you are joining the organization to have sisters and feel sisterly and feel a sisterhood, but the chapter that you are joining is not sisterly towards each other, that might not be the best decision to make, because more harm may come out of that than good. And I'm not here to discourage you, but I think it is important for you to consider that and to know what things mean to you.
This is where I have a slightly different opinion, because I feel like until we have an overhaul on D9 in particular, it's going to be shut down, because who's going to be the insurance company that is responsible in holding the insurance for these organizations until something happens? While I say children and kids, and knowing that they're adults, they're younger than me, and so that's why I use that language, and I need to be more intentional about that. But for the purpose of these young adults that go into these situations, and we are seeing documentaries. One is on Hulu. I highly recommend that y'all watch it, because it talks about exposing these organizations. And they don't just talk about D9. They actually highlight a lot more white organizations than black ones in the documentary.
What is it called?
It is called Houses of Horror, Secrets of College Greek Life.
Okay. You say Houses of Horror?
Horror. Yep. Yep. Horror.
Okay.
Yep. On Hulu, I've seen several episodes of the series. And again, it exposes different organizations. In most cases, there's somebody that has died in the episode or was near death. And so while I love to see the success of our organizations in particular and seeing some amazing people do some great things, we really need to have an honest conversation as it relates to how is this impacting our future generation? Because I'm having a conversation with a young adult in college, and they were telling me about Greek life. And guess what my first question was? My first question was, well, which chapter has the highest GPA? That's important. If we're talking about service and scholarship on a Absolutely. Collegiate campus, your GPA is important. And so while I appreciate the opportunities that Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated and some of the sorors in that network has provided me, again, projects and opportunity that I was just telling y'all about in the transparency moment was because of a sorority sister, because of someone connected with the network, that's how I'm able to get paid, because I have another project down the pipeline. Like, amazing opportunities, but I don't know what it's going to take to fix it. And unfortunately, I just see the things that are happening, and it, like, my soul just weeps, because, again, my personal experience, knowing that what I've gone through and knowing that people have experienced way worse than what I have gone through. And then at the end, you've graduated, you've gotten your degree. And in some cases, some people have gone through so much trauma that they don't even get there, that they've done all of that in scholarship and service, and then they can't even graduate college and finish out what they started as a result. Some people have lost
their
scholarship.
I was about to say, I'm one of those people. I lost my scholarship. And it wasn't during my intake process. It was afterwards. Because remember when I said, like, Delta is all or nothing, right? So it's like you get in there, and I was like, we got these projects, we got meetings, we got to do all of these things. And working for Delta, yeah, my GPA slipped down to 1.9. And then people took that scholarship right on back. They was like, well, thank you, ma'am. We'll take this right on back. And that was me trying to be super Delta and, like, be all the things and change the world and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, somebody should have caught that. Like, somebody should have been like, what them grades looking like? What them, because that is the reason why we are here. Yes, we are service. Yes, but also I came to college to graduate, not to get this degree. I came to college to get this degree, not to necessarily get these letters. These letters is not finna do nothing I need to graduate. You understand? And oftentimes that North Star is very much lost in what is happening. So I don't disagree with you at all. I definitely think there does need to be an overhaul. I just don't know what that looks like. And I also realize, you know, I have a lot of my line sisters have children now. And so their children are now joining the organizations and all of that. And so I've heard the stories of how things have escalated and what things are looking like. And it's also knowing that this young person has this dream and they want to be a part of this organization. They have their own Miss Dillon or their own situation that is driving them to want to be a part of this. And that's why I say I'm not saying not to, but I'm also saying be very aware of what is happening and also be willing to walk away. Because if you continue to move past your boundaries and allow people to cause you harm, there are life impacting consequences of that, you know? And so it is a decision that should not be made lightly or uninformed. And I think on paper, there is no way that a young person can be prepared to understand the intricacies of what might happen at their actual chapter, at that actual collegiate chapter, because on paper, it's just like, okay, you go in, you get accepted, you take the test, you learn the information, you take the test, you pass the test, and now that's it. And it's so much more than that, and it can be so much more than that. And depending on the chapter that you are a part of, there may be real harm that is being caused beyond I stayed up late, which, mind you, that's enough harm. But we're talking about like physical harm and people being hit with paddles and people doing things that are actually putting their life in danger. I definitely know for myself, there was never a time where I thought my life was in danger. I was never, ever, not one time concerned I'm not going to make it out of this, like ever. And nobody ever did anything to me. Like, it was very much like you do things to yourself, kind of. And it was more like the conditioning, if you will. So it's like you're going to do this particular exercise. You're going to stand in this particular pose because also you need to have endurance because we have a step show that we have to perform and you need to be able to have endurance during that. Like, that's what my process looked like. That looks very different for other people, depending on the year, depending on the school, depending on the chapter. And so I think it's important for you all to have just a well-rounded understanding. There is a question here. It says, is there a government organization to check or regulate these Greek organizations or maybe the university? Do you know of the specific agency that would be charged with something like this?
No, that is an excellent question. I do think that that's something that I do want to research and to be able to provide the answer to, because I do know that the National Panhellenic Council is the party that's over the Divine Nine. But Who is over that? And do they have meetings? What does that look like? That's a great research question. I will research and try to find an answer to that.
Yeah. And so the last question, the kind of biggest question, I guess, that we had within this is, what does God have to do with all of this? One thing I will say that I wholeheartedly disagreed with Melissa on is that joining the organization, we're making a pledge to the organization over God or, excuse me, a pledge to the devil or something like that. Our organization, let me use my organization because I don't know nothing about nobody else's. Our organization, Delta Sigma Theta, is founded on quote unquote Christian principles. So God is very much, space is held for God, but is also not a Christian organization. It was founded on Christian principles. So there's also people that are part of my organization that are not Christians. Saying that also doesn't mean a lot in this day and age when Christianity has been bastardized in ways beyond comprehension. Okay. But I said that to say there is not a ritual of like you are now signing over your life to the devil and now you worship the devil. Like that is not a thing. I do not know where people are getting that from. We do not worship the founders. We do not have to worship Minerva or anybody else. There, that is not a conversation that has never been a conversation. That is not something that actually happens through my experience. Now, I don't know what happened down there to her chapter and what they were saying, but that has not been a part of my experience. Do you want to speak for yours and any conversations about God?
Yeah. So back during COVID times where this was a conversation and I was privyed to one of Soar, who is no longer a Soar, and her go through her process. During that time, I asked God, I was like, God, so am I in an organization that is not like you? And that wasn't the answer that I got from God. So then I asked, well, how does she have this message from you, but I'm getting a different message? And that answer is still unclear. I didn't get a clear answer when I asked that question. So I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is that when I intentionally asked, well, am I doing that same thing? The answer was clear that it was no, that it's not, that I am not worshiping the devil or that I am not following God's order or anything that I did in my process changes the relationship that I have with God.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And this was before going through the process of doing Discover Your Destiny. This was before me really tapping into being more spiritual with God and having a very, very clear understanding when I hear God's voice.
What if the thing you've always called too much was the exact thing God designed on purpose? This is for the ones who've always known they were different. Too sensitive, too loud, too knowing, too intuitive, too woo-woo. But what if your sensitivity is actually your superpower? What if your intuition was your inheritance? Discover Your Destiny is a 10-week sacred journey back to yourself. We explore the design of your soul, your spiritual gifts, and the unique way that God speaks to you. This isn't church. It's not a rule book. It's not a performance. It's the moment you stop chasing approval and start walking in divine alignment. You'll gain clarity, language, and confidence around who you are and what you are here on the earth to do. You'll learn the real voice of God. And if you feel called to go on to become a certified intuitive melanated life coach, this is where that path begins. There are two ways to enter the sacred container: the Destiny Track, full investments and coaching experience, or the Divine Exchange Track, where internship meets soul work. You'll support podcasting, content creation, or brand development behind the scenes while learning how your unique gifts benefit the collective. Your knowing isn't a flaw. It's the fingerprint of God. This is your invitation, and I hope that you'll answer.
So I'm telling you what I recall from back then. But mm-hmm. Now, when all this came about, again, I asked. I said, God, okay, been here before. I'm seeing this stuff go viral. I'm seeing the comments of different people. There were people that I know that was like, mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm seeing people that I have an offline relationship with you, not just some I'm seeing online. And this is the stuff that you're saying. So I'm like, okay, here I am checking in once again because of what I went through and because of my feelings and because of the things that I've shared with you privately, but also to the things that I've even shared on the internet publicly, to where y'all can have this jacket. You can it doesn't make me. And unfortunately, it has made some people. It becomes their identity. And that's a whole separate conversation. So
God. But that's what I was just about to say, is that people do make the organization their personal idol, though. And that's where I go back to that personal responsibility and personal choice. If you decide that you are going to put this organization, this affiliation, these letters above God, that is your decision. That is your personal thing, right? So even when I said, you know, it was either all or nothing with Delta, meaning, you know, I was doing what's called Delta Academy, and it's basically like Saturday school kind of, but it's fun. Like, it's a fun thing. So that's what I was doing because I worked in education, right? But then when I realized me doing this is going to pull me away from whatever things were, whether that was church, whether that was work, whatever the things were, I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And again, I bring up churches again because churches will also use your gifts until they run dry for free. And then you don't even have anything left, right? But if we don't have that personal relationship with God, then we don't realize this church, this institution, in the name of God, is using me and abusing me and manipulating me in the name of God. I'm not about to let you do that to me. You know what I mean? So I feel like we really have to, one, at the foundation, really have a foundation with who God is, so that you know, is God actually telling you to do this, or is God not telling you to do this, or what that looks like. Again, I'm not on the hotline with you and God. You're going to need to go to God and ask God for yourself. Okay. I can speak to what God said to me. Okay. So figuring that out first, is this something I'm supposed to do? But then also consistently checking yourself to make sure that you have not put anything in the place of God. Anything in any aspect of your life that you haven't put in the place of God.
What do you say to those folks that are going on the internet with this message from God, speaking on behalf of God, reading the poems and the songs and the rituals and all of that? What do you say to those folks?
Yeah, I disagree with sharing any organization's proprietary information publicly. I just pause at that. I don't agree with that type of behavior. I think it is different if the organization is actively, for instance, like the U.S. government, is actively trying to destroy people's lives. I think that is a very different thing than private organizations. So that is just my personal stance on that. My invitation to people that are saying that God told them to do or don't do something is to really make sure that you actually have a relationship with God, and that is actually God talking. And I know that a lot of people's idea of who God is and what God says is colored by their environment. You know, if you're in a church that is telling you that God is fire and brimstones and sitting up in heaven waiting to shoot you down with lightning bolts, that is your understanding of who God is. And so it would make sense to you that God would be like, you can't do this, this, or that, or else you're going to burn in the lakes of hell. That's not who God is to me. And that's not that when I research God and when I have personal experience with God in my own life, God does not show up as something, someone, a force that I need to be afraid of. So I would just hope that those people find a deep relationship with God for real, God of the universe, all present, all knowing, all loving, all encompassing God, and not the God that has been given to them through somebody else's lens.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, because there's a lot of conversations that have been birthed from the video that has gone viral, and then the conversations about people's different experiences and how it is so different for every single person because they're on their journey uniquely. And they have different people that they've interacted with. And I do pray, and I will continue to uplift during this conversation, that for those of you that are in those environments where you're not safe, please understand that if you don't feel safe now, when something really bad happens, you're not going to be safe then. So it's best just to snitch now. And let's just bring the snitch culture to what it needs to be, right? Not I'm doing wrong and then I want to tell on somebody because I don't want to be held accountable. No, like, let's actually redefine what a snitch is and hold people accountable to the things that are happening so that we could stop it. Because when you're like, well, I don't know what's going to take to fix it. Well, if we could just follow these three keys, Jesus, please. If everyone could be accountable, if we could all be transparent, if we can operate with integrity as it relates to how we're conducting ourselves on these college campuses, because again, there are folks that have graduated 5+ years ago that's still dealing with undergraduate mess and drama. And for what? You have children, young adults, people being harmed for a particular feeling of power in the moment, an ego, because of letters. And some of the people that were so emboldened to cause harm, when you figure out and see where they are today, some of them didn't even finish school. They did not graduate.
Most of them did not. Mm-hmm.
The ones that would be at everybody party and everybody business would not complete their collegiate studies. And then encouraging these young adults to do what they do, bringing nuke juice and omega oil and all that type of stuff to these functions. And then getting underage children drunk so you could have some fun and you could talk about it in the group chat. It's a lot that needs to be talked about. That's why we need to snitch.
This podcast is sponsored by Make Snitching Great Again. MSGA, baby. Enough is enough. And it is time for accountability, transparency, and integrity. It's time to snitch. Save 11% by using coupon code HEALTHATSHIT. Visit us online by visiting projectmsga.com.
We've got to do better. We've got to do better. And so we call all of y'all, if you are part of an organization, we call you to personal responsibility and how you need to be showing up better and differently, and how you can
Please.
Be talking to people who are in your circles regarding activities. And if you are seeking to be a part of the organization, please, you know, take heed, please search your spirit. And most importantly, ensure that you have a connection to God so that you are really able to understand why you want to do this, what would even makes you want to do this, because perceived power is not enough, if you will. It's really not. And it's fleeting and it's false. So really ask yourself why you want to be a part of it and what is the best time for you to do that. And keeping in mind that if you are a student, you are a student first. You are a student first. Your whole point of being there is to be a student and get your degree. That is your number one priority. And anything that stands in the way of that should not be in the way of that. Okay. So there are some soul searching questions that we need to ask ourselves on several levels. And if we need to follow up with things, you know, please let us know. If you have additional questions, please ask those questions in the comments so that we can have the healing conversations that we need to have. Unfortunately, this is a place where many people in our communities have experience harm and trauma. And so it is a place that we do need to talk about with intention. So that is what we have strived to do here today. That is the point of us being here. So please do leave a comment. Please do share your experience. Please also know, don't come over here with that bullshit. Yeah. Don't, because we absolutely.
The blog and Bleed Blessed Ministry is strong here. Like, please, because again, was very transparent, inactive, is not planning to be, but is continuing to do service in the way that God has called me. And for those denouncers that say God said it, I really want to know, how do you know when God is speaking to you? How do you know when God is speaking to you? I want to know. So please be in the comments respectfully, okay? So that we can have a very respectful conversation, because there's a lot of healing that needs to happen, folks, out here. We do need to all come together with the understanding that we got to do better moving forward, because what's happening is not sustainable. And I'm just tired of looking at the news and seeing someone else die. And simply people lie put. About it.
Yeah, simply put. So we're going to go ahead and get out of here, y'all. Thank you for, again, being here for the live premiere. Thank you for watching this. Please do leave the comments, ask the questions, share your experiences should you choose to do so. We are focused on healing and doing better. So tell the people where they can find you, please, ma'am.
Yes, indeed. You can find me in Santa Marta, Colombia, in the Bear Cave, and online. You can find me at www.biancagoolsby.com. On my website, you can see all of my spaces, social, and also on my Patreon. Come holler at your girl. Come join me. I'm a lot of fun, and I'm definitely in for the ride. So buckle up. Where can they find you, girl?
So I would like for you all to come over to the Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/mindinmyblackassbusiness. That is the community that I'm actively working on building that supports all the work that I do. Also, if you are interested in developing a deep personal relationship with God, please go to Discover Your Destiny, dyd25.com, to learn more about Discover Your Destiny and get on my calendar so that we can talk about what that looks like for you. All right. We will be back in 2 weeks with the next episode. So in the meantime, please do put us some hearts with a bandage wrapped around it in the chat. Share our emojis. Please help us to spread the word. Share this with somebody. Like the video. Subscribe to the page if you have not done the things. And please make sure that you go over to WeHealThatShit.com so that you are able to get connected to the resources that we have available, to our playlist, to all the things that are over there in that space. All right. So we will catch y'all next time. Bye, y'all.